When I show my peace, complaints see something's odd. Feel like I'm God, you stupid, dumb shit, goddamn motherfucker!
And with that tribute to Roman Reigns out of the way, welcome you to an all-new live episode of Brain Stew Wrestling. How's everyone doing tonight? My name is Hammy. On Skype is Michael Hipster Punchy Falcone.
Yes!
You like that little dig at Roman, did ya?
I did. I want to be honest, though. In regards to Roman Reigns, I'm sure we'll go more in depth to this later. If they do what they did with him, like this week in Raw, more often, I'm going to start turning around in Roman Reigns.
I might join you on that. But first, necessary plugs out of the way. You can follow us on Twitter at BSR Wrestling. You can follow the network, because it's official now, folks. You can follow the Brain Stew Radio Network at Brain Stew Radio on Twitter, on Instagram, and pretty soon other social networks out there. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Brain Stew Radio Network. We are live every Wednesday night from 10 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on BrainStewRadio.com. How's everyone doing tonight? You could download the podcast at any time you want at BrainStewRadio.com in both audio and video form. And we got to give shout-outs to our buddy King at Skunk Duck Designs for designing all the logos you see on the website. He does a phenomenal job, an AJ Styles-level phenomenal job with these logos. So with the plugs out of the way, let's get to the top story, which has nothing to do with pro wrestling, Mike. I don't know what we're doing tonight. We're not starting off with talking about pro wrestling. Instead, we are talking about an event that happens every 4 years, and that is the Summer Olympic Games.
Ah, but you can tie it in, because you see,
we certainly can.
Chad Gable of the SmackDown brand was actually part of the 2012 Olympic team.
Indeed he was, and this is the 20th anniversary this year, Mike, that Kurt Angle won a gold medal with a broken
freaking neck.
Yes, 20 years ago, Kurt Angle won the Olympic gold medal for wrestling in Atlanta 1996 with a broken freaking neck, as much as he loves to remind us all of that.
No, he does. I mean, no, what I love about how he would remind us is no matter what tone he was using for the I want an Olympic gold medal, the broken freaking neck was always 5 octaves higher.
Yes.
When I won the gold medal with a broken freaking neck. Like, it was like,
so I asked the Olympic Games, regardless of what you may feel about Rio, the Olympic Games themselves are going off with not that much controversy. The only controversy that I'm reading about, and I must admit I'm not watching every second of the Olympic Games. I'm watching some events, but the event that I'm reading about that's getting the most attention is the divers pool mysteriously turned green. Apparently there's like algae growing in it because it's not chlorinated or something like that. But the Olympic Games for a desolate world known as Brazil, it's going off without a hitch, which I'm very thankful for.
Let's be real. I'm sure if you walk far enough from that stadium, it's kind of like a mile from the casinos in Atlantic City.
Yeah. If you're on the Olympic campus, I mean, I know two people that are actually down there. One is spending their honeymoon going to the Olympics, which good for you, rich bastards. The other one won some contest with Visa or something last Olympics, and they got tickets to go to the Olympics this year. So good for them. Enjoy. Don't get robbed.
But I'm awaiting the Olympic debut of Rambo Apocalypse.
Oh my God! Yes, Seth Rollins should go down there and conquer as Rambo Apocalypse. But I ask Mike, with the Olympics coming around and the Olympics now going on, are you at least watching this? Are you watching
No.
anything?
Not at all. I'm a terrible American. I'm not watching the Olympics.
You're not watching Team USA gymnastics? Just destroy it. The Team USA women's gymnastics team is killing it. They are slaughtering every competition. Let me break it down for you. The U.S. women's gymnastics team won the gold medal by in the lead of like 6 or 7 points over the silver medals. That is the equivalent of winning 35-0 in the NFL. That is a burial. Think of it this way. Team USA women's gymnastics is WWE creative, and the silver medalists are Cesaro.
That hurts.
That hurts. That hurts for everyone else in competition.
Here's one though. I got a better one for you.
Team USA is killing it.
Team USA is Triple H, mid-2000s. The silver medalists are Booker T.
Okay, good. Fair point. Fair point.
You people don't get gold medals.
No, Team USA is doing great. The USA boxing team's doing great. Off to a great start. They won like 3 of their 4 fights or whatever. But the most dominant of all performances is one Michael Phelps. I don't know if you're watching this, guys.
I got a response to your comment from a K Angle in Pittsburgh. He says, "Yeah, but did Michael Phelps win those medals with a broken freaking neck?"
Mr. Angle, I don't believe he did. But Michael Phelps is not only the greatest Olympian of all time, but dare I say he's one of the greatest athletes of all time. He has 21 Olympic gold medals.
I wonder if somebody like starts a little bit ahead of Michael Phelps, and do they think they might actually have a shot, or are they kind of in their peripheral just seeing those weird suction cup bark shoulders like approaching? Like a great white shark coming up in one of those Jaws movies.
All I know is I'm watching the games. I'm watching a little bit of all the events. By the way, the event I'm watching the most of is rugby sevens. What they do is they take a standard rugby field and shrink it in half, so there's like a lot more contact and scoring. Watch rugby sevens, guys. You will not be disappointed with how gruesomely violent this game is. Yeah. What a great addition for the Olympics, rugby. I love it. But the reason why I want to bring up Michael Phelps is not only is he the most decorated Olympian of all time, 21 gold medals, which, by the way, 21 gold medals or The Undertaker's 21 WrestleMania win streak. What's more impressive?
Now, I want the first person who beats Michael Phelps in an event to call himself the one behind the one in 2021.
Well, Phelps in the previous games, I think they were in London. He won silver by like 0.5 seconds. So people have defeated Phelps in a race.
But he is accumulating gold medals like Cena's accumulated wins over the WWE mid-card in the last 15 years.
Yes, precisely. So I wanted to bring up Michael Phelps for this because I don't know the most viral thing I've ever seen in a very long time.
Him hitting a bong?
No, far more. I think you remember last Olympics, Michaela Maroney with the not impressed face. We all remember that meme. Well, there's a new one, and I'll just let you see it for yourself, guys, because it is. To put it best, it's Michael Phelps' death stare face.
Oh, my God. All right. I didn't know that picture was Michael Phelps. Like, I saw that face with the blue and red and thought it was Eli Manning being pissy.
No, it's Michael Phelps.
Like, but you can see in the face why I would think it's Eli Manning.
Oh, yeah. I can definitely see how people may think it's Eli Manning. But no. That's Michael Phelps.
Holy crap!
And apparently, from the video, he's staring at the guy from South Africa, the one who beat him in the last Olympic Games, just giving him the death stare, like "motherfucker, I'm going to destroy you." And sure enough, he did. But the Michael Phelps death stare is the greatest thing I've seen in a very long time. This meme is going to stay with us for quite some time, at least until the next Olympics.
This is how much that guy from South Africa fucked with Michael Phelps. Like, Michael Phelps broke the record for gold medals. That was probably the only event he didn't gold medal in last Olympics. And he's like, no, I'm winning this time. I'm beating this guy.
Yes.
Like, being the record holder for most gold medals is not good enough. He has to win all of the medals. Michael Phelps is the 1%.
When it comes to gold medals, yeah, Michael Phelps is the 1%. But, Mike, I've seen the Michael Phelps death stare memes. I've seen people make GIFs out of it. I've seen people do a lot of amazing things with that image. But none, and I mean none, can compare to what I'm about to show you right now.
Oh, shit.
So let's see. Hopefully my computer doesn't crash. This is from Deadspin. I don't know who made this at Deadspin, but someone took Michael Phelps' image and superimposed it on The Undertaker's entrance video. So here we go. Who did this? Who did this?
I don't know whoever did it, though.
It's perfect! You got Michael Phelps in the death stare, and he looks like he's part of the Ministry of Darkness now. Bravo to the folks at Deadspin. I don't know who made that, but
that's fantastic.
That is amazing. I love the internet sometimes. It gives us the ability to go on the air and talk about our love of pro wrestling. It gives us the ability to run a podcast network, subscribe in iTunes, and it also gives us the amazing gift of memes. And again, to whoever at Deadspin made that clip, bravo, because that made me laugh uncontrollably hard for a very long time.
Wait, did Hammy say it gives us the gift of memes? Did we drink in the gift of memes? Man.
Drink it in, man.
Oh, it's the most irritating but amazing slogan ever.
So, before we get to WWE news and take our first break here, speaking of things that shouldn't be amazing but are, I'm going to pull an audible here, Mike, and I don't know if you've been watching Broken Matt Hardy recently. I put out a teaser for this of whether I'm going to trash or praise Matt Hardy for this. But to set this up, I don't know what transpired Matt Hardy to do this. I don't watch TNA that much. But Matt Hardy is now Broken Matt Hardy. He looks like a Sweeney Todd wannabe. And he talks with a more high-pitched Bray Wyatt accent. And the culmination of this transformation went into a match, a backyard wrestling match, between him and his brother Jeff Hardy, who he calls now Brother Nero. And Hardy ended up winning the match, so if he wins the match, he deletes your existence. That's his gimmick.
So, we should probably reference Matt Hardy won the match.
Yes, Matt Hardy did indeed win the match.
Delete!
He's like if Sweeney Todd merged with a Cyberman from Doctor Who. That's what he does now. So, I want to play this because...
Explain!
Yeah!
Explain! Assimilate!
I love it. So I want to set this up. Some of you may not know where I work in daytime, but I let's just say I work with the guys over... I work for the same channel that the guys over at Busted Open Radio work for. So I didn't know this happened until literally 20 minutes before the show. I was looking up Matt Hardy videos because I wanted to talk about him tonight. And I had no idea that this happened. So, Dave LaGreca of Busted Open Radio, well, he got a little taste of what happens when you piss off Broken Matt Hardy. Do you want to see this, Mike?
Yes.
So, I'll just play it for yourself. I'll just play it and let you guys be the judge.
Hola, señor. You have procured a kingpin of the internet wrestling community? Where did you come across this
kingpin of the internet wrestling community?
I see. Prepare the room of obsolation for torture! Adios.
David LaGreca, do you know why you find yourself in my room of obsolescence?
Listen, Matt, I'm just...
Silence!
Great acting,
Dave. You're not allowed to talk as well now. How dare you come to North Carolina thinking you could go on a vacation with the ubiquitous Vanguard 1 patrolling the skies and over the Lord of the traitors like you, brother, heroes like you.
Matt, I'm just here with my family. I'm just on vacation. I'm just stopping by. I'm just...
Silence! Silence! You spoke blasphemy!
I love the Saw type music in the background too.
That is the key.
You must be deleted. I do not want to hear another word.
I want to play a game, brother Nero.
No, silence.
I will burn your
vessel. David LaGreca, it's over. Camera person, you do not want to be in my room of obsolescence. This mask is
room of obsolescence. The production value is just stellar. I'll give it that. It's just, it's a stellar production. Folks in film school, you want to learn how to be a professional video videographer?
Watch this and
watch
do the opposite.
This is the greatest thing to ever happen to professional wrestling.
You procured a kingpin of the internet wrestling community.
I have one more. If you want to just just take in the gift of broken Matt Hardy. Sorry, Jericho.
Drink the gift of broken Matt Hardy, everyone.
So this is from a couple days ago. Broken Matt Hardy deletes the Young Bucks. So, again.
What? No! Why?
Because Matt Hardy is the greatest thing that's ever happened to wrestling. So
Let's
here we go.
Party.
On the 7th of August, the true face of Hardy returns to Santiago.
Look at Jeff in the Fight background forever. With the triangle.
And on that evening, the broken brilliance of Matt Hardy has been challenged. But the Bucks of Utah.
So is that Jeff Hardy's gimmick now? He just stands behind there?
Yes, he's a mute mule for Matt Hardy.
I like the things that you do in the new wrestling in Japan with the cleaner Kenny Omega. But anyone who opposes Matt Hardy must be deleted! So on August the 7th, I am bringing my obsolete mule, Brother Nero. And you and I, Brother Nero, we will render the Bucks obsolete. So what I need you to do is play that musical instrument that you have the aptitude to play as we mourn the delightful career of the Young Bucks. Give them the 10 bell salute now. On August 7th, Bucks, I will eat your feet. I will chew off your feet, and you will never, ever throw another kick. That is super. Never
throw another kick.
Bucks, it's over. Come on, mule.
Wait a minute. I just want to say, Young Bucks, this is going to be the fourth time we've met, and I'm pretty excited about it. As you know, I've been in an odd situation, so I'm going to do the best I can.
Vanguard 1, delete hey, this video now.
Vanguard
1. What the hell? Why's the dog in there, boy? I don't like the dog, man. I didn't, man, honey. I'm gonna get you out of this, man. I'm gonna be reboot, man.
Vanguard 1, delete the audio now.
Fuck this, man. Fuck you, man. I'm gonna get
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the greatest thing in wrestling today, Matt Hardy. Who knew in 2016 I would be praising Matt Hardy?
Again, I've always said Matt is the better one of the Hardy Boys.
I can't. Here's the thing. The broken Matt Hardy gimmick is like Sharknado. It's purposely really, really bad, but therefore it makes it really, really good.
Yeah. But that's my thing, though. Matt Hardy could pull that off. Jeff Hardy could not have pulled that off.
No, Jeff Hardy could not have pulled this gimmick off. So,
Jeff Hardy, but don't have to do that. I just want to dress a Hot Topic every day.
Here's the thing, Mike. We're going to have, I know it's only August, and we have our end of year awards to give out coming in December, but greatest gimmick of the years has, it's been decided.
It's going to be tough to top that.
I don't know how we're going
to. It doesn't matter if you do a kick that is super.
We have the greatest gimmick, and we also have the worst gimmick. Both of those have been crowned already, and we will let you know what the worst gimmick is in our SmackDown recap, and I think you guys may know what it is with just that hint. But we have our best gimmick and worst gimmick of the year already, and it's August.
From Concord, California.
So, with that, we want to close off the segment by first off thanking Skunk Duck Designs for everything they do to help the Brain Stew Radio Network.
Yes, yes, Skunk Duck Designs. So we will not delete you.
No, we won't. I will not pull a Hammy Logic and delete the feed. I will not do any of deletion. I will not do any type of deletion here. But Skunk Duck Designs, thank you, Kane. You can hire him for your logo, for all of your graphic art needs. After you, of course, listen to his show, Social Downfall Radio, available every Thursday at 2 p.m. right here on the Brain Stew Radio Network.
Now, before we go on break, Hammy, I have one question for you. When you deleted the one server a couple years ago, was that your final deletion?
It was not my final deletion. I have yet to discover my final deletion.
Okay. Well, you get Vanguard 2 ready and get your final deletion information.
Number to call, 908-854-4228. That's 908-854-4228. Coming back with the Raw and SmackDown recap right after this.
Are you a musician? Are you a singer-songwriter? Are you someone that needs help audio editing? Look no further than Brain Stew Media. Based out of northern New Jersey, Brain Stew Media is your one-stop shop for all of your audio needs. Whether you're looking to record your first demo, your next album, or your next concert, Brain Stew Media provides the best service and prices you will find. Check out our rates, studio, and portfolio by going to brainstewmedia.com today. Do you like pro wrestling that is real, in your face, and not congested with cheesy promos or two-minute matches? Check out Pro Wrestling Magic. Independent wrestling has never looked better than Pro Wrestling Magic. Don't rely on superstars for your need of wrestling. Check out real pro wrestling from Pro Wrestling Magic. Check out their upcoming shows, schedules, roster, and announcements by going to their website, WrestlingIsMagic.com. Back live, Brain Stew Wrestling on the Brain Stew Radio Network. By the way, I'm glad you guys don't have smell-o-vision because the air conditioning in this room broke. So I have the window fan and another fan to my right off camera here blowing disgusting hot humid air on me, and this cup of ice was completely full of ice when the show started. It's not even halfway over, and the ice is already melted.
What Hamby's saying is the good thing that I'm on Skype, because two big guys in that room would not be a good thing.
It certainly wouldn't. So, we basked in the gift of broken Matt Hardy. Now let's get to the main WWE shows this week, starting with the Monday Night Raw recap. And we started off pretty strong. Once again, thanks to the part of Enzo and Cass.
Well, and what I like about Raw's, now that we don't have like an evil authority angle, if we don't have the droning opening segment, we've just now wrestlers come out and do their thing in further feuds. So we get strong promo work from Enzo and Cass.
Last week, I came out here on Monday Night Raw. Pretty much a G. I came out here and I was spitting some game to the WWE women's champion Sasha Banks. How you doing? I was swinging for the fence.
You were like Mike Trout.
Mike Trout.
C-pop.
The guy hits dinger after dinger, and you put one deep to the track, to the wall, and then...
And then John Bon Jericho wants to come out here with his...
Of course, Enzo would say the Bon Jovi reference.
A strong promo from Enzo and Cass, and
by
these
way,
guys...
towards the end there, Cass kind of had it sound like he had a Boston accent.
Yeah, he did. So we got Jericho and Owens coming out, and here's what happened.
And he gave me some advice that I took, and now Kevin and I are closer than brothers. Okay? Close Canadian brothers. All right? That's right. And no matter what I do, he's got my back. No matter where I go, he's got my back. Through hell and high water, Owens has my back.
You know, Cass, I actually used to like you. In fact, when we were in NXT, you're one of the very few guys that I liked, I guess because I could relate to you, because see, just like you, I had a waste of space as a best friend who turned out to be nothing but dead weight. That was holding.
Great shot at Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
So that resulted in some fisticuffs being thrown. I'd say not a bad way to start off Monday Night Raw. If you're going to start out strong, these four are some of the best in the company to start off your show.
I'm liking the pairing of Kevin Owens and Jericho, because they could have a pretty good run as a tag team, and then the eventual split, which could be the face turn for Jericho, would give Kevin Owens like a credible win.
Or the eventual betrayal of Owens to Jericho. I think if anyone's backstabbing anybody, it's going to be Owens backstabbing Jericho.
That's what I mean, yeah. Like, thus turning Jericho face.
I wouldn't say he turns face, because I'm loving this heel Jericho run right now.
Yeah, but Owens is such a great heel.
He is a good heel, but it doesn't mean that a heel can't betray another heel, and the heel that gets betrayed stays heel.
Well, I mean, listen, whatever happens, as long as Kevin Owens remains heel... Because he's such a good dick here.
Right, absolutely. One of the matches on the card was Braun Strowman.
Who, again, I'm liking... Again, not good in ring at all. He's kind of terrible in ring. He's your average lumbering big guy. But I like him better post being a member of the Wyatt family. He moves around a little better, but he's got a gimmick that kind of fits his look.
I agree. I'm liking Braun Strowman's singles push here. They're trying to build him up as the classic unstoppable monster, whether that works or not. I don't know if it's going to work. What do you think?
You know what? Every promotion that's worth their salt needs a monster heel.
And Braun Strowman's going to be that for WWE.
For Raw, at least.
Yes. So, this is something new. We got a backstage interview, if you want to call it that, with Byron Saxton. And a local competitor.
I'm standing here with Darrell Nelson.
Holy shit,
Darrell,
it's Drake!
Considering what Braun Strowman has done to his opponents over the last 2 weeks, what possessed you to take this match?
Well, he started from the bottom, now he's here.
Let's just say this Braun Strowman match with this guy is going to be the physical embodiment of what will happen if Drake actually goes at Eminem.
Michael Corey, back to you.
Good answer, Darrell. Do you think maybe
for once, I agree with Michael Cole. Great answer.
Just a quick and brutal destruction on Drake by a white guy.
That kind of sounds racist.
Yeah, but that... Listen, even the black community is saying that's what's going to happen if Drake goes in. Even they're like, listen, bro, you're like overstepping your bounds. All right? Just look at what happened to Benzino. All right, last light-skinned guy to go to Eminem. It did not end well for him. You should just back off.
So Strowman runs around and just runs into him like a tank. Poor Jarrell.
Does a couple power moves and then...
I mean, Strowman looks strong
again,
as shit.
They're getting local guys who are usually extras when they're in town to play the guys he faces for the squashes. so they're not discrediting people on the actual main on the actual WWE roster right now.
Yeah, the guys who Braun Strowman is going over right now are the guys who, if The Undertaker was still around, they would be his druids.
Yeah, exactly. The one guy who, the first one, the one who's like been memed because he has like the weak chin.
Right.
They actually talked to him about it. And he's like, yeah, he's usually an extra for WWE. And they pay him. But this time they're like, yeah, you're going to actually do a match with Braun Strowman. Like, he had no idea it was happening until after he got to the arena and was sitting there for a while waiting for his role that day.
So,
plays like a security guard or stuff like that.
Right. So, who do you think is going to be the one to challenge Strowman? Is it going to be an NXT call up? Is it going to be anyone on the roster? Who's going to be the first one to actually give Strowman a competitive match?
A competitive match? Probably someone on the lower mid card. So, like, in the lower. So, maybe. No, it's not going to be anyone smaller, though. It's going to be, like, someone larger in size. So, like, the first actual competitive match will probably be, like, a Mark Henry where Braun Strowman still wins, but it's not a two-second squash match.
Yeah, Henry's in that position now where he's still he's still a formidable opponent, and he still looks strong, and he still looks good in matches. So he's put there in place to give a strong showing, but still job to whoever Raw is pushing. So I'm gonna agree with you on this, Mike. I would say Mark Henry's the one that at least knocks Strowman down.
Yep.
And gets a two count on him, and then Strowman just comes back in and destroys him.
Yeah. Now, next up, one of the funniest segments of Raw that didn't involve Gallows and Anderson doing a fake medical ad.
The next highlight on Raw, we got a great promo from Seth Rollins.
Because he's Seth freaking Rollins.
Yes, hyping up his match with Finn Balor, and he dismisses the Demon King gimmick that Balor has.
I don't want to talk too much about me tonight. Everyone in the entire world knows how good Seth Rollins is. I want to talk about Finn Balor. I want to get to know Finn Balor for starters. Did you guys know that Finn Balor isn't even his real name?
Did you guys know that Seth Rollins isn't your real name? way to break kayfabe here, Rollins.
Well, I mean, that's what they're going for with that whole gimmick.
So what do you think about this? What do you think of this build-up so far between Rollins and Balor?
It's great. I mean, both are playing their roles well. Seth Rollins is the best person on the roster as far as total package, in-ring ability, mic skill, like everything factored in. He is the best on WWE's roster right now, on their main roster at least. Like his promos, like look at his return promo, the first day after returning. He got that huge face pop, and he was able to turn it into massive heel heat. That's how good Seth Rollins is.
And Finn Balor is doing a fantastic job challenging Rollins.
Exactly. I still don't think Balor wins, but it's going to be a great feud and a great match.
I think that for the main event of SummerSlam, they couldn't have picked two better people to close the second biggest show of the year besides WrestleMania.
Well, we're assuming that match is closing the show.
It should close the show.
It should, but I feel like Vince is probably going to have Randy Orton versus Lesnar close it out.
Oh, God, no. Why would he do that?
Because grapefruits.
Why?
Because it's Vince McMahon.
Fair point. So, the surprise of Monday Night Raw this week for me, and I think for both of us, Mike, was Roman Reigns wasn't that bad. He was actually very entertaining.
Yep.
So, to set this up, Rusev and Lana are in the ring, and they're celebrating their marriage, which If it's WWE and anything involving romance and weddings, it never ends well.
Yeah, never. Never ends well. The only time a wedding ended well on WWE television is Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth.
Yes, it's the one and only time it ever happened. So, I love this. I love this angle because I don't know how to say it, but it's part sexist, part in your face. Like, I don't know. I love their gimmick going on now is Rusev and Lana are bragging to the male audience watching the show that only Rusev can have Lana at night. That's their gimmick now. I'm banging a 10 that you all want. Boo me. That's Rusev's gimmick now.
They're making themselves so obnoxious that it's fantastic.
So as they're about to celebrate their wedding vows, retell each other, reconfess their love for one another, Roman Reigns comes out.
On the duty of being your best man. So I figured I'd come out here, I'd pour up a couple of drinks, and I'd bless you guys with a toast. What do you say? I don't need your stupid toast. Then accept my challenge for the United States Championship at SummerSlam. I'll say no to that. I came out here, challenge you, you're not gonna accept it? Well, if you're not gonna accept my challenge, then you're gonna hear my toast. I came all the way out here to be the best man, so I'm gonna do a toast. Hold up.
I'm actually enjoying Roman Reigns this segment.
Like, yeah, that segment was the best I've seen Roman Reigns do in the mic in a long time. Like, the two guys who we've mentioned, like, who needed to improve on the microphone, him and Cesaro have been improving.
You gotta have a little drink with the toast, you know that.
This is not yours.
I'd like to take this time to make a toast to Rusev and Lana. First of all, I'd like to say thank you. Thank you so much. I've never had the opportunity to see a marriage between a Bulgarian Sasquatch and a mail order bride.
I gotta admit, that was good.
And Rusev's reaction, the way he sold his reaction to that
this
line.
This is kind of a drag out here. I'm not having a good time. I'm a little disappointed. I was expecting so much more out of you, Rusev. Just like Lana was expecting more on your wedding night.
Oh shit. Shots fired. I gotta admit, I loved Roman Reigns' segment.
That is light years better than his whole, like, suffering succotash promo.
So, needless to say, we got Roman Reigns versus Rusev for the United States title at SummerSlam.
Yes, now, something else that might tie into that match happened. Earlier in the night, there was a match between a certain Swiss Superman and a certain Bebop or Rocksteady, whichever one he played in the new Ninja Turtles movie.
I believe he played Rocksteady.
Yeah. Whichever. it was Rocksteady. So they had a match. It was a really good match, like those two always have together. Like, I don't know what it is, but when you put Sheamus or Rusev in the ring with Cesaro, they step up their game. I don't know if it's a European thing or if it's he knows what the fuck he's doing, but I always enjoy a Sheamus-Cesaro match. I always enjoy a Cesaro-Rusev match. I don't. Maybe it's the chemistry they have or the fact that they have, like, they're both very good power-style type wrestlers, so it just looks like a hard-hitting slugfest, but they step up their game whenever in the ring with them.
I'm agreeing with you, man. I enjoyed this match, and I never like Sheamus matches. But this match, particularly on Raw, was pretty good between Cesaro and Sheamus.
Now, there is one thing that was pointed out to me years ago when I used to do another wrestling show called Markout Radio. Sheamus is known to be very stiff in the ring. Cesaro's not one to just let it happen. So, like, if someone like a Sheamus is stiff with him, Cesaro is stiff back. And I think they've kind of developed a camaraderie or chemistry with that. So their matches just look that much more realistic. And that slide into the bro kick was brilliant.
Yeah, I liked that exchange. Yeah, this was a pretty exciting match between the two, and I was very impressed with the outcome. I mean, I like the fact that Cesaro won. Sheamus still looked strong, even though I'm done with the Sheamus character. I'm just done with Sheamus in general. I just think he's the large guy that imposes a threat that needs to lose to make other people look strong. I mean, I don't see Sheamus.
You need that though. You need
you
that.
Do need it, and he has his place. But I'm just done with Sheamus.
I wonder if John Cena is jealous of Cesaro's dropkick.
I think any wrestler on the roster should be jealous of Cesaro's dropkick because
it's so crisp looking. I do miss the pop up uppercut though.
I miss that too, but that was definitely your match of the night for Raw, Cesaro versus Sheamus.
By the way, the second best match of the night also involved Cesaro. Like, he did double duty for them.
By the way, the markout moment of the night came when Daniel Bryan said to Cesaro as Mick Foley invited him to the ring that he's underutilized on Monday Night Raw. That was my favorite part of the night.
Yeah, which we can actually probably play for them because you got the video going.
I just want you to know that I have the utmost respect for everything that you're doing on Monday Night Raw.
Daniel, knock it off, man. Knock it off. If you had the utmost respect for me, you wouldn't have been talking smack on Talking Smack about our Universal title. And you know what I'm talking about. I've got the video to prove it.
In the process. Oh, that's right. A lot of people reported these comments on that Brian made as shooting.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people ran with it. It's like, oh, he's shooting. He's shooting. It, like, this is real. This is legit.
No, it's a gimmick.
No, it's on WWE programming. Like, unless it's a backstage interview off air, it's not. it's just not. It's not a shoot, guys. It's the way it was supposed to go because they were setting this up. So... Rusev comes out, says that he's the real champion. They don't need a universal champion. And then Cesaro comes out. Your boy, Punchifer.
I have a great idea how to make it even worse. Mick Foley, you said I could earn a championship opportunity. And I think I proved last week and this week that I deserve a championship opportunity.
But in his defense, Sheamus almost had you there for a moment.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were a man of your word.
Oh, shit.
Shots fired from Cesaro to Mick Foley.
just so you know, Cesaro, I think you're being completely underutilized here on Raw.
Stay out of it, Daniel.
And, of course, the audience just goes, yes, yes, because he is.
How often
do we always complain that Cesaro is underutilized by the company?
It's like he's saying what we think.
Daniel Bryan speaking for the fans there.
Notice, though, like the reaction Cesaro got during this match with Rusev. Like, it brings up the whole, really, Vince? He doesn't connect, Vince? Really, Vince?
Yeah, of course. So that concludes Raw. What did you think of the show overall?
It was the weakest since the brand split, like since the draft.
Yeah, I agree. It wasn't a strong showing, but it was still watchable. It was still entertaining. There was one really good match, Cesaro and Sheamus, and a lot of it was just all right. Like it was okay. It was watchable.
Yeah.
So now we switch. Now we switch to SmackDown, where my boy Bray Wyatt opened up the show. And it claimed to be a victim to Ziggler. I've never seen this from Bray Wyatt before.
Yeah, and you can also hear Bray Wyatt every Saturday night on 360 on 420.
Yes. So that led to a main event match between Wyatt and Eric Rowan versus Ambrose and Ziggler to main event SmackDown. But one highlight that I want to showcase right now, and like we said in the previous segment before we went to break, we found our weakest gimmick of the year. Hands down.
So be ready to be captivated, adulterated, and seduced by the worst gimmick ever.
Well, I'm definitely seduced, but not in a way that you may think. I'm not. I'm definitely seduced in a way from a man to woman way, but I'm not seduced as a wrestling fan. I am, of course, talking about Eva Marie. Last week, she appeared to have an injury, and the match between her and Becky Lynch didn't happen. I thought for a split second that it was legit. I thought, oh my God, what a horrible, horrible timing. Fans hate her anyway. She's coming out, and oh my God, she gets injured. She can't compete. Oh my God, I kind of feel bad for Eva Marie. But then this happened.
She's doing her thing and she's getting booed heavily, like
Let's
usual.
See what she can do. Careful! Oh, ha ha ha, true veteran right there. Learned her lesson. Well, Becky Lynch would like to teach her a few lessons. Hey, Becky Lynch is good, but. Good.
So Eva Marie has a wardrobe malfunction.
So she's basically finding odd ways to get out of a match with Becky Lynch.
So, what is happening?
Oh, it's just a shit. Oh God, it's the worst. I think she's eventually going to get, like, someone to be her backup, like her muscle. And then Becky Lynch goes out, and then we'll get Alexa Bliss. So automatically, the quality of the actual match itself is upgraded immensely. Because Alexa Bliss is no Becky Lynch, or no Sasha, or no, you know, Bayley or Charlotte. But she can still hold her own in a match.
Yeah, but unfortunately, Becky Lynch calls herself the last kicker. She hasn't been kicking a lot of last lately. And sorry, Becky, I love everything about you, but you're losing me. You're losing me, girl. Like, you're not...
Why is it, like, it's not her fault they're booking her to lose against...
I know, but I can't take her seriously. She called herself a last kicker. She's not kicking a lot of last.
You've got to remember, too, though, like, she's probably going to be one of the head... like women's wrestlers on SmackDown, but her loss to Alexa Bliss this week was a distraction finish, like a dusty finish type thing, because they had like Eva Marie. Eva Marie is now ready to come to the ring.
Yeah, well.
So like it was a match that Becky Lynch had won, but lost because of distraction by the person she's feuding with presently.
So one of the main event matches for this week's SmackDown featured Randy Orton versus the man hated by the IWC because of the fact he dates Paige, Alberto Del Rio. What were your thoughts on this one?
This match, like, it wasn't that good. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, I have an issue with Del Rio. My issue with Del Rio is that he's a really good wrestler. Like, he's shown that in Mexico and in the Independence. He can go.
I will not disagree with that. Del Rio has shown that he can deliver a 5-star match.
But for whatever reason, whenever he wrestles for WWE, I don't know if he just gets complacent or if he holds himself back. But he's not performing to the best of his abilities when he's in WWE. Even his promo work seems lazy. Like, it's frustrating because he's talented. I know he can. But he just does not give it his all like he does when he's not working for WWE.
Well, remember, Del Rio came back for a hefty sum of money.
Yeah, that's what happens when they need to bring him back because Cena's hurt and because they fucked him over by the way they fired him initially.
So it could it be he's doing it for the paycheck and just phoning it in, or what?
Well, no,
I mean,
because
you're
like,
right, Mike, you're was, right. I've seen him compete outside of WWE, and he put on great matches. So I don't know what his deal is, but he's. You're right. The more I think about it now, you're right. I don't see Del Rio performing to his best abilities.
Yeah. Now, that's not as evident when he's facing someone like a Cesaro or a Kevin Owens or a Sami Zayn. Who can go and carry the match, but I have a formula when it comes to certain workers. Two of them are John Cena and Randy Orton. For them to have a good match, they need somebody who can carry them to a good match.
Right.
That's why Cena had the like amazing run that he had with quality matches, was because he was facing a Dean Ambrose, a Dolph Ziggler, a Cesaro, a Kevin Owens, a Sami Zayn.
Right.
During the US, like. He's facing an AJ Styles. So, like, he's had guys who know what they're doing and make him look good. So, the problem is, you need that. If not, the match suffers because Orton and Cena cannot be expected to carry a match. So, if Del Rio's not giving his all and he's in a match with Orton, it's just not going to look good.
Your main event of Tuesday Night SmackDown, Dean Ambrose and Dolph Ziggler versus Bray Wyatt and Eric Rowan. What were your thoughts on this one?
I mean, not bad. I mean, it definitely wasn't the worst match of the night. Like, and apparently, by the way, Bray Wyatt got hurt after the show ended as well. But, like, again, it was an okay match. You had Ziggler selling everything crazy. You had Ambrose doing his thing, which leads to an entertaining match. Bray Wyatt always has good chemistry with both of them. And then Eric Rowan is good as the muscle. So, like, it was a pretty good combination of things. But, you know, like, it was a good match.
Ziggler and Ambrose ended up getting the win, but as you saw in the opening of the show, Ziggler accidentally super kicks Dean Ambrose, and yep. Ambrose returns the favor to Ziggler at the end of the match, where he delivers dirty deeds.
Yes, after they defeat Eric Rowan and Jonathan Bravis.
Yeah. So this is how SmackDown went off the air. Ambrose and Ziggler congratulating one another. And here we go.
Oh, I said that yet. You spoke too soon, JBL. Dirty deeds, and no one delivers dirty deeds like Dean Ambrose.
The lunatic said he owed Dolph Ziggler.
By the way, can I say I love the SmackDown announce team?
Yeah. Like, Mario Ronello is making JBL sound better. Like, Corey Graves is making Saxon and Cole sound better.
Dare I say Mario Ronello, I said it on this show last week. He is being praised as the second coming of Jim Ross as far as quality broadcaster goes, and I'm starting to believe it. Man, is he good.
And him and Daniel Bryan commentating on the Cruiserweight Classic has been amazing.
So now that we conclude our Raw and SmackDown recap, our final thought. I thought SmackDown this week was a C. Both Raw and SmackDown this week were, they're okay.
Yeah, SmackDown was a C, which is kind of par for the course since the draft. But Raw being a C is kind of a letdown, given the last couple weeks since the draft.
Correct. So, Mike, you have been watching the Cruiserweight Classic. What have you got for us this week from this week's episode?
Okay, for the last week, because I haven't watched this week's episode yet, because it was going on as we were getting ready to start the show. Definitely the match of last week was Tommaso Ciampa versus Johnny Gargano. It was a spectacular match. Like, it's only 10 minutes because the matches are kind of short in the Cruiserweight Classic because they're compressing it all in an hour. Like, it's a very wrestling-based show, so there's no, backstage gimmickry to eat up time. And the spots they were doing, it was a physical, intense match that had the crowd into it to the point where, a very deserving This Is Awesome chant.
Yes.
Like, I implore everybody to watch last week's episode of the Cruiserweight Classic and to watch the whole thing. Because there's, like, Cedric Alexander, Kota Ibushi, Noam Dar, Zack Sabre Jr., Grand Metalik are some of the names in this tournament, and they're fantastic. It's well worth watching. Drew Gulak, who actually favorited my tweet about him a couple weeks ago when I was live tweeting.
And you can follow Punchy at Hipster Punchy on Twitter, and you can follow him as he live tweets the show on our show Twitter account, BSR Wrestling. We are going to take another break, but when we come back, we will have our top five news stories of the week, rumor mail, and we're going to update you on the SummerSlam.
And NXT Brooklyn.
And NXT Brooklyn. Stay right there. We will be right back after this.
Are you a musician? Are you a singer-songwriter? Are you someone that needs help audio editing? Look no further than Brainstew Media. Based out of northern New Jersey, Brainstew Media is your one-stop shop for all of your audio needs. Whether you're looking to record your first demo, your next album, or your next concert, Brainstew Media provides the best service and prices you will find. Check out our rates, studio, and portfolio by going to brainstewmedia.com today.
Do you like pro wrestling that is real, in your face, and not congested with cheesy promos or two-minute matches? Check out Pro Wrestling Magic. Independent wrestling has never looked better than Pro Wrestling Magic. Don't rely on superstars for your need of wrestling. Check out real pro wrestling from Pro Wrestling Magic. Check out their upcoming shows, schedules, roster, and announcements by going to their website, WrestlingIsMagic.com.
Back live brings to wrestling. Let's just get right into it, Mike. Your top five news stories of the week. What have we got?
Yes, well, sad news on the wrestling front. As far as like firings, Joey Styles is no longer employed by WWE.
That deserves an oh my god. But I don't feel like straining my voice, so oh my god. What is going on? What happened?
So he did a shoot interview on Yahoo recently, or through Yahoo, and apparently they did not take kindly to his comments making fun of the naming of the Universal title in the shoot interview setting and some of the other things he had to say on that interview.
Oh, boy. Well, as we know, Joey Styles has not been one to tread lightly, sort of say.
Yes. Wade Barrett did an interview. And he basically admitted what everybody was thinking in terms of the League of Nations, that being that they were pretty much put together to help Roman Reigns' push.
Oh.
Yeah, well, again, which you expected. And he had an interesting point that they didn't really get to gel as a cohesive unit like the Shield or the early days of the Nexus because they weren't kind of shown as having camaraderie so much as three guys being the background to Sheamus.
So it's what we suspected all along. League of Nations was a waste of space to just make Roman Reigns look strong.
Yeah.
Basically.
Pretty much. Let's see what else we got here. So they're Ryback. Remember him? He's officially considered no longer with WWE.
I know, Bill Goldberg retired after WrestleMania 20.
No. I mean, what I mean is the other Ryback, the guy who does his gimmick.
Oh, okay, yeah, him. Okay, yeah, the big guy.
Yeah, the big guy. That's going to be his name. That's what he's being advertised as.
Well, WWE didn't trademark it, so, I mean, he is known as a bad guy, so, the big guy, so, I don't blame him.
Yes, and now
got to make a living somehow.
Now, Ring of Honor is going to be in the UK in November, and they've actually tapped Will Ospreay. You guys might know him from what Hammy's calling the match of the year.
The match of the year
with Ricochet. He's going to be doing some Ring of Honor matches in the UK, and WWE desperately wants to sign him.
I don't blame him. I mean, all you have to do, if you're a fan of pro wrestling, watch Will Ospreay versus Ricochet from New Japan, and You have to watch that match, and then you will see why we love this. Why we love this physical soap opera known as professional wrestling. That is the embodiment of what is physically possible in a match. I cannot rave enough about this match. Will Ospreay versus Ricochet from New Japan. That is your match of the year, and WWE, quite honestly, would be stupid not to want to sign both of them.
Well, I know, like, Ospreay, they can try to sign. Ricochet, I think they've got to wait because of his contract with Lucha Underground, since he's Prince Puma on that show.
Right. Okay. I mean, legality aside, if I were WWE, I would want both of these guys in NXT pronto, because look at the talent they already have in NXT. I mean, can you just imagine both of those guys facing, I don't know, Shinsuke Nakamura on NXT? Can you imagine both of those guys facing, I don't know, Samoa Joe?
Oh, God.
And if they get called up to the main roster, can you see them both facing Finn Balor, Seth Rollins, Bray Wyatt even?
Hey, you're going to give me a markgasm.
Both of those guys in WWE, it just equals money.
Here comes the money.
All right, Shane McMahon.
All right, so we've got our first officially announced WrestleMania 33 match.
Wait, what?
Yep.
First official WrestleMania 33 match. It better be a good one.
Well, the Big Show.
Not interested.
It's going to be, hold on, there's more. It's going to be squaring off against Shaq.
What?
I will give it this, though. It's like, because remember, they had Lawrence Taylor main event it the one year against Bam Bam Bigelow.
What?
But, yeah. The difference is, though, Shaq actually likes wrestling. He's a fan of it. He's not just doing it for coke money like LT was. So, listen, it's not going to be a good match, but Shaq will try, and he'll make sure he's in shape for it. And apparently Big Show's, like, working on his conditioning, too, for the match.
I thought this was a gag or a troll, and I thought you just fell for a troll. No, it's official. Shaq versus Big Show to appear on WrestleMania 33. Oh, my God.
Yes. Now,
this is real.
One more quick double take on two wrestlers I mentioned earlier. Since their match on the CWC, the two guys, Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano, who have been working with WWE and NXT kind of like on a per appearance basis. They kind of had a similar deal to what Samoa Joe had initially, where he was doing NXT matches but able to do indie bookings as well.
Right.
Their contracts have now been graduated to an exclusive contract. So they are officially part of the WWE NXT roster.
Nice.
Which explains why they're in the tag title scene now, and it's great for them. I mean, again, two guys have been busting their asses, and Tommaso Ciampa is why Kevin Owens is in WWE right now. Like, he got Kevin Owens in good enough shape to pass the physicals and, you know, their conditioning tests.
Again, this just goes to show you that WWE's roster now, their complete roster, is just something. I haven't seen a roster this strong since the early 2000s for WWE.
Yes. Now, another thing I want to point out about them, they've got something that may very well go viral going on. For those of you who don't know, Bobby Roode recently made his first appearance in NXT, and his theme song has been very widely liked. They're doing now something called a Glorious Bomb, which is Glorious Domination is the name of the song, and it goes glorious. They're actually, like, randomly going to places where Bobby Roode is, having their phone camera recording them, putting him in frame between them as they loudly play his song and wait for him to acknowledge it.
Yeah, I like it. It's
yeah.
It is what it says. It is glorious.
It's a great theme song. And actually, Actually,
I put this up there with Nakamura's theme as being the most catchy.
What?
Is this Cephas who did this?
Yep.
Oh, man.
They're killing it with the theme.
Jim Johnson, move aside, man.
Yeah.
Cephas is the way to go.
So, I want to point something out, too, with the glory, like, the, you know, doing the glorious bombs, like, the, you know. So, of the many responses to Conor McGregor.
Oh, yeah. That's a huge story going on right now in the world of pro wrestling and MMA. Conor McGregor came out and basically called all of the WWE superstars pussies. And oh boy, did the wrestlers did the WWE superstars and wrestlers alike have something to say in response to McGregor?
Yeah. Now again, the funniest was Tommaso Ciampa. He basically turned it into a glorious bomb tweet. He said, "I'll fight Conor, boots optional. But first, hashtag glorious bomb," and they play a glorious bomb of them by the elevator waiting for Bobby Roode to get out and acknowledge. So, Roman Reigns had a pretty good one.
"You're the size of my leg. Shut up."
Kevin Owens actually was like basically saying, you know, if you directly comment on ignorance, it gives it power or something like that.
But if you subtweet it, you're still kind of commenting on it. And also, let's be realistic here. Like, we're always going to sort of cheer for the wrestlers because it's us. But realistically, let's peel back our love of pro wrestling and talk as Chris and Mike. Conor McGregor, in a real fight, would annihilate almost every single person on the WWE roster. Can we think of, let's challenge, can we think of three people, both past and present for WWE, who could, in their prime, beat up Conor McGregor in a real fight? One, Kurt Angle, because
Kurt
again,
Angle,
he is a world-class athlete, world-class wrestler. He won an Olympic gold medal with a broken freaking neck. Brock Lesnar. On or not on steroids, I would say Brock Lesnar.
I think JBL could have, because JBL was one of the guys that would like known to be one of the legit backstage tough guys.
Taker too is another one of those guys. He out wrestled Kurt Angle on a plane.
I think some of the European guys could probably take Conor McGregor because they all work a stiff style, so they're pretty tough in general.
Yeah, but MMA, it's more than just fisticuffs. A lot of wrestling, a lot of jiu-jitsu. I mean, unless you have a real legit background in wrestling, I don't think you can stand a chance against an MMA fighter if you're a pro wrestler.
Which means
Brock Lesnar and Kurt Angle are the only two that I could think of that would really, like, stand a chance.
To be fair, though, he got slapped around by Nate Diaz, who's, like, 2 pounds heavier than him, in one weight class above. The smallest guys in WWE are basically in UFC's light heavyweight division, which is like 3 or 4 divisions above Conor McGregor's weight class. So, like, the thing too, Conor McGregor's got precise striking, but, like,
the size difference is just overwhelming.
And not in a Vince McMahon, oh, muscles are way, but there's more weight behind the punches.
Yeah, but then it goes right back to that strength versus speed. I don't know. It would be fun. I mean, a lot of wrestling critics out there are saying that he's planting the seeds for a WWE run. No, he's not. Conor McGregor is in the prime of his career in the UFC. He's getting paid out the truckload for every fight that he has in the UFC. Why would he, A, come to WWE? B, and if this was planting seeds for anything, he wouldn't use PG, he would use PG-ish language, not just call them all pussies.
Hey, yeah, but he's not presently working for WWE.
That is, hey, WWE and UFC work together for UFC 200.
Yep.
So, who knows what would happen, but
There's one pro wrestler that might be able to take him. Matt Riddle, former UFC competitor, former Ultimate Fighter competitor, current pro wrestler.
I mean, I'm one of those guys that I love pro wrestling, but I also love a great MMA fight. I mean, I'm not going to say one's better than the other, but I do have to recognize that MMA, that's real fighting. That is a real athletic competition. Now, pro wrestling, you have to be athletic. You have to have discipline. You have to have a strong work ethic, and you have to trust your opponent. Like, it's not just you in the ring trying to out-wrestle, outperform, outfight an opponent. You have to trust your opponent in a pro wrestling match. With MMA, it's just you. It's the ultimate form of athletic competition. So I have to respect what MMA fighters do, but I also have to say to MMA guys, hey, pro wrestling is not just, you know, ballet or some bullshit like that. Like, pro wrestling's tough as well, and I respect both. I respect people who do both.
But I forget who it is, but someone pointed out he called him out on the fact that he was calling them pussies, but he does two matches a year, whereas they've got to wrestle 310 days out of the year, and a pro wrestling match is more physically grueling and punishing to the body than an MMA match.
Yeah, an MMA fight, it can end in the first round in the first 10 seconds, get you locked up in a submission, choke you out, and you tap, and then you're done. And I'm not saying that MMA fighters have a lot of, don't have as much, have weaker bodies. I'm not saying that. But what I am going to say is it takes a lot of physical discipline to do both.
I'll leave it at that. Is that Sami Zayn and Shinsuke Nakamura wrestled three or four Conor McGregor fights, time-wise.
And 10 Ronda Rousey fights.
Yeah. Even the one that she lost.
I mean, look, again, I'll end it on this. If you're training to become an MMA fighter or training to become a pro wrestler, you're going to have to go through a lot of physical, borderline torture to strengthen and condition your body to be able to do that. Good. It takes years upon years of practice to get to the top, and if you're lucky, you'll end up in the UFC or you'll end up in WWE. Very rarely, you like the odds of you making it big and making a living off of it are slim to none. So, in those ways, they're similar. But let's be real here, Mike. A lot of pro wrestlers aren't fighters. They have their size and their strength in the gym. I mean, they're tough dudes in a bar fight, but against a trained professional fighter.
Again, though, some of them are trained other ways. Dolph Ziggler, for example, who Ric Flair mentioned. Amateur wrestling background, which is the way to take down a striker, is having an amateur wrestling background, which Dolph Ziggler was like elite-level NCAA-type wrestler.
Right.
Chad Gable, an Olympic rep-level amateur wrestler.
Kurt Angle, an Olympic gold medalist, who won it with a broken freaking neck. Right.
Someone else who would probably be able to beat Conor McGregor is Tamina. Because Tamina's manly. I was joking there. I wasn't being serious.
Yeah. I was trying to determine whether I should shit on that joke or play this in a bit.
She's a handsome lady is what I'm saying.
Right. Okay.
So moving on to something a little more positive, we've got it's going to be a really good spoiling me weekend of pro wrestling coming up. Not this weekend, but the weekend after.
Yeah, SummerSlam weekend. Let's end on this. We have one additional match to the card, so let's run down the card real quick. We're doing this week and next week, running down the card for SummerSlam
and NXT. I'm going to do NXT first.
And NXT. Really, let's do NXT first. What do we have card wise as far as NXT Takeover Brooklyn?
As of right now, first off, there's going to be Ember Moon making her debut. She had a debut promo recently. She's known in the independent women's wrestling federations as Athena, was her name. She's facing a to-be-determined opponent in her debut match. Austin Aries is facing No Way Jose with that feud. The tag title match is going to be the Revival, Dawson and Wilder, versus Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa. Bobby Roode makes his NXT debut in ring when he faces Andrade Almas. That's going to promise to be a really good match. The women's championship match, Asuka versus Bayley, and the match everybody's going to be talking about after the event's over, Samoa Joe defending the NXT championship versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
Wow.
That's
it could be like last year, buddy. NXT TakeOver could outshine SummerSlam.
Now, I'm not reading the SummerSlam card, folks. It's the NXT card. Holy crap, that main event.
Nakamura versus Samoa Joe. A match that I never thought would ever happen under a WWE roof, but it's going to happen.
That's going to be the stiffest Nakamura match I've seen since his match against Kevin Steen in Ring of Honor.
Yes. Okay.
Now,
the SummerSlam card.
SummerSlam. Right now, Rusev defending the U.S. title versus Roman Reigns. I honestly think that's going to be turned to a four-way, including Sheamus and Cesaro, based on what happened in Raw, but we'll see.
We'll see.
Now, Enzo Amore and Big Cass versus, I don't know if we want to call them Jericho or Y2KO.
I like Y2KO.
Yeah, but Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens are the opponents for Enzo and Big Cass.
I love it.
A tag team title championship match. The New Day defending against Gallows and Anderson.
Rightfully so.
The match where I'm expecting Cena to actually put somebody over, AJ Styles versus John Cena.
Explosive match. That's going to be great.
Great feud. I mean, they've gotten the best out of each other. Apollo Crews is going for the Intercontinental title, facing champion The Miz with Maurice Awit. The women's championship match with Dana. My face looks way too much like Jinx from Pokemon Brooks. Brooke, I should say. Barred from ringside. Sasha Banks defending the women's championship against Charlotte. By the way, side note, apparently Vince McMahon is not impressed with Dana Brooke and is thinking that she's not ready to be on wrestling on television.
Oh, boy.
So he's pretty much asked Triple H who thought she was ready to wrestle in ring. The singles match for the WWE World Championship. Dean Ambrose defending against Dolph Ziggler. Singles match for the Universal Championship. Finn Balor versus Seth Rambo Apocalypse Rollins.
Rando Apocalypse.
And then the last match on the list, I don't know if it's the main event. It might be, it might not be. Brock Lesnar taking Randy Orton to Suplex City.
What a stacked card.
Stacked weekend. And then the Raw the day after is probably going to be amazing too.
Mike, we don't... If you... would you agree with me on this, buddy? If you haven't watched a full card of professional wrestling and you're wondering what makes a great wrestling show, watch either of these two cards in next week. You have a stacked NXT TakeOver card, and that's going to deliver. And not to mention SummerSlam. Dude, this SummerSlam card is already light years better than last year's. This is the best SummerSlam card I've seen probably in 10 years.
Yeah, it's a really well put together. This is what happens when you get in guys who know what they're doing and put them in the card. Like, even the Cena match, people are excited.
I'm more excited for SummerSlam than I was for WrestleMania. More excited. Because I know the matches are going to deliver. Every match in this card has potential to deliver gold.
Oh, it's going to be...
I am so excited for SummerSlam and NXT next weekend.
Would you say you're hyped?
The hype is real, my friend. The hype is real. Get on this hype train.
Are you staying hyped?
Yes, staying hyped.
Because you don't get hype. Stay hype.
All right, guys. We gave you a little bonus time tonight. You're welcome. He is at Hipster Punchy on Twitter. I am at Hams Gruber on Twitter. You can follow the show.
And I've got one word to describe most of the wrestling podcasts.
S-A-W-F-T.
Swapped.
All right, guys. In all seriousness, thank you guys so much for listening. As always, the podcast will be up within the hour. Video podcast released at 6 a.m. If you're watching the video podcast, listen live. We're live every Wednesday, 10 to 11 p.m. on BrainstormRadio.com. Listen live. Again, at Hipster Punch on Twitter, at Hams Gruber on Twitter, at BSR Wrestling on Twitter. You can check out all of the other shows on the Brainstorm Radio Network by going to BrainstormRadio.com and following at Brainstorm Radio on Twitter and Instagram. We will see you next week where we have our SummerSlam prediction special. Don't miss it. We will see you next week. Have a wonderful night, guys. You're gonna go to the record store.